Well, good morning. I got to take my breath. I was hearing the choir singing, and they sounded well, by the way. But I knew I had to get in here before they were done. And so I'm glad all of you are here this morning. Jesus told many stories, and a lot of those stories were true to life. I mean, he's sitting down there in the field, and he's telling them, look, the sower went to the field, and that's, as he's telling them, that's happening, okay? It's happening. But Jesus also used concepts that were not really truthful. They were just concepts that the people believed in those days, and he used those to bring out a lesson. Jesus also used erroneous, unbiblical, theological stories, like the rich man Lazarus, but he used them to bring out a point, okay, some teaching. And so, having said that, 3 weeks ago, I parked my car in the garage, got out, went through the utility room, I opened the door, and as I went into the utility, from the garage to the utility room, I kind of, very slight odor, and I didn't think anything of it. I went in, you know, in the house, and then I kept coming out. When I would come out of the from the utility to the garage, it's like, there's something here. All right, didn't think much of it. 2 days later, came, parked the car, went in, and it's like, whoa. Now, this is getting a little bit stronger here. I need to find out what's the matter. My wife usually puts a bag of potatoes in the garage. So I thought, you know, because one bad potato, that could ruin your whole meal if you put it in. And so I went and checked that bag, all the potatoes, took them all out, and nothing. All the potatoes were good. And it was like, oh, there's something going on here. But 2 days later, I come back, it's like, whoa. There is something definitely wrong here. And so what I did is I started moving all the cabinets inside the garage, behind and underneath, just in case something was there. And nothing. I moved everything. Nothing. Okay. Went in, came back out, and the odor, utility room, and finally I came one day in the garage, and then it was just like, oh, no. I got to do something about this. And I knew what I had to do, but I didn't want to do. But I had to go down into the crawl space, okay? Now, my wife is thinking I'm a hero because I'm able to do those things. Because she says, I wouldn't do that. Our crawl space is in a closet that's sort of underneath the stairs or angles down, and the crawl space is at the corner. And our closet has all the kids' Sabbath toys and everything in there. I mean, it's so to get to the crawl hole, you have to take everything out first. And so I took everything out, put latex gloves on. I put a sweatshirt, I put a hooded, sweatshirt, I put my baseball cap, I put old jeans, on top of the latex gloves, I put leather gloves. I went in the crawl space, went down, oh, and by the way, I had 2 flashlights, just in case one burns out. You don't want to be stuck underneath there when it's all dark. So I went down, and then the crawl space, you're standing, and it comes to about right here, okay? And I said, great. It took me back to when I used to work in caveman heating and air conditioning. I started crawling, and I don't know why builders do this. Dave Davies and some of you that work in construction. The house is a two-story house, so they did foundations right in the middle of the house. I guess it's for support, so the house won't cave in. But what they did is that in order for me to go from this big bay to the next one, they cut a little hole. About 20 inches wide. And literally, because I did measure it, 9.5 inches tall. So I took a big, deep breath and went through, and I had to wiggle. And as I'm going through, wouldn't you know it, those heating guys just put this big duct right through there. So you have to crawl through this hole, squeeze through this hole, go underneath the duct that's there, go over the sewer pipes. It's like you're doing this. And all the time crawling, dragging the two, you know, flashlights. And I had a mask and everything. And so I started searching and searching. And all of a sudden I put the light and I saw something. It was a dead mouse. Yeah, yuck. A dead mouse. And as I got closer to it, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to. It's like I bagged it really quick. And I said, whew, okay. Got that bag, got my flashlights. You know, you scoot one flashlight, you scoot yourself, get the other one, throw it in front, and then when you get to the crawl space, that little hole you have to go through, you throw the mouse, then you throw one flashlight, then you throw the other one, then you crawl through, you squeeze through, and finally you come out the crawl hole and say, yes! Oh. And I closed it, I put everything back in, and I said, it is done. If sins were like a dead mouse, this place of worship would be empty. Why? Well, think about it. If you sinned, you would smell. And you'd be walking and people would go, and the worse the sin, the worse the smell, the more rotten. Okay? So could you imagine going to the store and you really had committed a big sin that morning? And people are like, oh. I mean, you wouldn't be able to hide the fact that you had sinned that morning. Going to school to choir practice, and then all of a sudden you see everybody just... And it's like, what did you do this morning? If sins were like a dead mouse, it'd be such a terrible smell that you would want to do something about it really, really quick. Especially those unforgiven sins, especially those sins that we like to keep in our hearts. The ones we really like to do, but we don't want to get rid of. Those would be the really, really smelly ones. And every time you use the foul language, you're talking and you say a bad word, and you start to smell. When you're out there in your cubicle talking bad about your boss, and all of a sudden the smell starts coming from your cubicle. Or you go to a prayer meeting and then you start talking about the prayer request, but it goes a little bit beyond the prayer request and everybody starts smelling. Or maybe you offend your brother and you don't want to go and ask for forgiveness. Well, that's a stinky mess. So you see, if sins were like a dead mouse, even your neighbors would know. They're like, honey, why is that house stinking so bad? And just before they go to church, too. Hi. What's wrong? If sins were like a dead mouse. And so I thought I was done, but the smell continued to get even stronger and stronger by the day. As a matter of fact, it started spreading from the utility room into the bathroom, into the entry of my home. Okay? I mean, really bad. By this time, this whole smell that's just permeating, I would come in. And the thing with this is that as soon as I went in, it's really strong. But then after a while, you kind of get used to it. And so now I had to do something that I should have done when I found the dead mouse. And so here we go again. I took out everything out of the closet, opened up the crawl space, put on my gloves, put on my sweatshirt, my hooded sweatshirt, my cap, my mask, my pants, old pants, of course, old tennis shoes, and I got ready to go in. And I took with me, and I'm not joking, one can of Lysol, one special odor remover spray that I bought at PetSmart. I went in and I told them, if your dog did the worst mess in the whole world, what could take out the odor? And they said, this would. I said, I'll take all of that. So I had that with me. I also had a full bottle of Febreze. I had a spray bottle of vinegar. Because someone said that works. So I had that with me. I had a 6-pound bag of baking soda. And I had a can I bought at Lowe's that is supposed to absorb odors. So I had all this. And here I go. Went down, crawled with all those things, threw them through that little hole, went underneath the duct. I mean, it was I felt like a snake, you know, just. And when I got to the place where the mouse was, well, opened up the 6-pound baking soda and just, you know, all this, I'm flat on the ground. Remember this. I'm not standing. And so I sprayed that baking soda in all over. I got the Lysol and just sprayed the foundation, sprayed everything. I mean, the fumes were like, whoa. Vinegar. And Febreze, I mean, I just went to town, opened that can that's supposed to absorb everything, put it down there. And I was just, I mean, I felt trigger happy, you know. Finally, when Febreze was gone, Lysol, that's strong, so I didn't use much of that. But I finally said, okay, it'll smell good now. So I backtracked and got everything, went back in, came out, put everything in, back I was, washed the clothes, and then I said, good. We are done. If sins were like a dead mouse, we would try to do everything possible to get rid of the smell. Everything. I mean, you would try praying more. You would try having more devotional time. You would fast. You would pray. You would ask the Lord for forgiveness. I mean, you would do everything possible. You would even try living what you preached. You would do whatever it took to get that smell out. And so I waited a few days, and wouldn't you know it? The smell was still there. And the worst part of it was that it got stronger. And I mean, it was bad now. I said, I'm going to move. I'll put my house for sale. Anybody want a free house? And so it was really a stinky mess. So on Thursday, February 25th, at 9:30 a.m. in the morning, I put my gloves on. I got an old pair of sweats. I put those on. I put my shirt, my sweatshirt. I put my hooded shirt. I got a mask, goggles, leather gloves, protective shoes, and I got the Lysol, another can of Febreze, because I bought it at Costco with the refill, you know. The vinegar, the special odor remover, crawled back in with all this stuff, two flashlights, because this time one of them went bad. Crawled all the way back in because I knew what I had to do. Went through that 9.5-inch opening, squeezed through there. You know, when you put more clothes on, you're kind of a little bit bigger. So it's harder to squeeze through 9.5 inches. Went through underneath the duct, over the pipes, and now I'm wondering why some dumb guy sprayed stuff all over, because now it's all moist and it's getting all over me. The baking soda. It's all over me. In my back, in the front, because you're trying to turn. And so I knew what I had to do. And I began to stick my hand in the insulation. On my back, remember. Just a little bit of feeling if there was anything in there. It was not a good thing. I went, they have, I don't know what they call them. I'm just going to say their bays where the insulation is. And I'm sticking my hand in there, okay, going through, sliding through all this wet baking soda that somebody did. And sliding my hand. Then I would go to the next bay because I knew it wasn't the utility room. Nothing. I mean, believe it or not, I prayed before I went in the crawl space. I said, Lord, please help me find something. So when the goggles there, and there are pipes running through, and what they did with the insulation is right through the middle, they kind of cut the insulation in half and they kind of wrapped it. Okay, so the pipe is right in the middle of the insulation. So what I'm here, and I open half of it, and then two little droppings fall out. I was glad I was wearing goggles and my mouth was closed. And I said to myself, self, this is not a good thing. And I opened. There in the middle of that insulation was the biggest mouse. It had a 4-inch body or 5 and a tail about 6. And it had like hundreds of maggots. It was eating it. And next to that, it probably was the husband, but he was really gone. It was just a black spot. And I saw that, and then I began to feel my breakfast. And I said, I can't do that because I have the mask. That's not a good thing. And so I quickly put that back and, okay. These were the lessons when my wife, you know, we went to, when you're having a baby, they teach you how to breathe. I'm like, okay, breathe. I opened that insulation again, and I had to get it out. I brought a bag with me, and I pulled on the tail, and it was stuck. I didn't know if the rat was still alive, hanging on. And I pulled on it, and I didn't want the tail to pop open, and then all of it, you know. I didn't know if it was going to explode or squirt. I don't know what it was going to do. And so I pulled, and finally just, all that maggots and stuff, and I just put it in the bag. And then I grabbed that other spot that was whatever it was. I just closed my eyes and grabbed a whole bunch of insulation and just And then I kept, and there was another small mouse that was also dead, and I grabbed it and I just put it everything in the bag, closed it before they ran out. And then Febreze, Lysol, vinegar. I mean, I just sprayed that insulation like you wouldn't believe. It was just like, I was there about half an hour just spraying and using everything and all over the place. Because you know what? I did not want to go back down there anymore. Seriously. So I sprayed and I sprayed and I sprayed. And when I thought I was done spraying, I found something else and sprayed. If sins were like a dead mouse, you would try to do all you can, everything possible, to get rid of not only the smell, but get rid of the source of that smell. I came back out. And it was so gross. I took that big mouse, because I don't know if it was a rat. I don't know. I'm not an entomologist. I just knew that it was a big, maggot-infested, ugly-looking thing. I took it outside, opened that bag, and took pictures of it. So if you want to see them, let me know. They're in high definition. And then I bagged it up really quick before it got away. And I threw it in the trash. I took all my clothes off. Not outside, inside. Put them in a bag. This time, I didn't even wash them. I threw them in the trash. And then I went in the shower. I never take hot showers or long showers. But there I was like half an hour just scrubbing it. Because you know that maggot infested, whatever it was just, washed myself, washed. It's interesting. Even after I did all that, I went and I was hungry. I had to eat, right? And I still had to wash my hands just to make sure I didn't have any rat on me. Got rid of it. Today, it still smells. And you're wondering, what's the next step? I'll tell you what my next step is going to be. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting just to see if it goes away. Because here's my next step. I'm going to go down there. 3 bays of insulation. I'm going to take all the insulation out. I'm going to go up in the utility room. I'm going to tear all the utility subfloor and the flooring. I'm going to take all that out. I'm going to put new floor. But before I do that, I'm going to put the new insulation in. I'm going to spray it, put a new floor in, put a new vinyl, and hopefully that is going to do it. That's my next step. But I'm waiting because I don't want to do that, see? That's too much work. And I'm even thinking, I could live with a little bit of a dead smell. Just a little bit. It's like, oh, it's not that bad. If sins were like a dead mouse, you would do even the utmost to try to get rid of the smell, try to get rid not only of what's causing the smell, but you're trying to get rid of anything that might have been infected by the smell. One day a little boy had been going to prayer meeting. And prayer meetings are very interesting. And little boy sat there, and when it came time to pray, everybody prayed their little prayers. And there was this lady that had the same prayer all the time. She prayed, and then her last words were this: "And Lord, please, please take the cobwebs out of my heart. Amen." Every Wednesday, the little boy heard this. Every Wednesday. And one Wednesday, the little boy was fed up. He was tired. And she said, "And Lord, please take the cobwebs out of my life." And the little boy says, "Why don't you just kill the spider?" If we would come to realize what sin is to our Creator, if we would realize what sin is to Jesus, you wouldn't want to have any part of that in your life. If you realized what it cost God for your sins and my sins, we would do everything possible to try to get rid of the dead mouse smell. If sins were like a dead mouse. Now this morning I have some good news and I have some bad news. Let me give you the bad news first. Because most people give me the bad news first. So I'll give you the bad news. The bad news is that we love the smell of dead mouse. That's just a fact. When the Lord sprays us, He cleanses us, He gets us all clean, takes away whatever is causing the dead smell. And when He's done, we run back to that rat, maggot-infested rat, and we rub it all over ourselves. Because within us, we just love that dead mouse smell. Here's the other bad news. It gets worse. We cannot go down into our hearts and remove that smell. We cannot do that. We don't have the strength to be able to do that. And so without a Redeemer, We were condemned to a stinky life of dead mouse and then a stinky death. And that was it. There's your hope. But now the good news. I don't want to just leave you with the bad news. There are good news. And this little book titled Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 61. Let me read something to you here. God's purpose is not merely to deliver from the suffering that is the inevitable result of sin, but to save from sin itself. The soul, corrupted and deformed, is to be purified, transformed, that it may be clothed in the beauty of the Lord our God, conformed to the image of His Son. And then it goes on. It says, only through the surrender of our will to God is it possible for Him to impart life to us. Only by receiving His life through self-surrender is it possible, said Jesus, for the hidden sins, which I have pointed out, to be overcome. And then it says, it is possible that you may bury them in your hearts and conceal them from human eyes. But how will you stand in God's presence? In other words, we could hide our sins, because sins are not like a dead mouse where you could smell your sins. So we are able to hide our sins pretty well. One day Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And if you have your Bibles, look it up with me. Matthew 23. In this chapter titled, Woe to the Scribes and the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy. All right. And then he goes on to say that, woe to the Pharisees, because you are like whitewashed tombs. You paint them really nice from the outside. You're all painted really nice. But in the inside, it's full of dead bones. Full of dead bones. And sometimes we do the same thing. Is it hot in here? It's kind of hot in here. So, excuse me. Got a little hot, sorry. And what Jesus Christ, why are you all looking at me? Jesus Christ is saying that sometimes we walk around all neatly dressed nice and everybody sees you and, oh, Pastor Walter, he looks nicely dressed. But the inside is as rotten as a dead mouse. And you see, I could have walked around all day, talked with you and did all of everything just like nothing. And you probably would have never known what the inside was like. Inside the heart, Jesus said, it's smelly. It stinks as a dead mouse. And no one else sees it but God. And He's told the Pharisees, you hypocrites. you walk around all neatly and nicely dressed, but the inside, it's as stinky as a dead mouse. Listen to this. Page 118. The only safeguard, Mount of Blessing, the only safeguard against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in His righteousness. And then it goes on, it says, Christ will never, and this is the good news, Christ will never abandon the soul for whom He has died. In other words, to God, to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how stinky you are, we are, He will never, ever abandon us. The soul may leave Him and be overwhelmed with temptation, but Christ can never turn from one for whom He has paid the ransom of His own life. The good news is that we ask Christ to come into our hearts. He will not only cleanse us, but He has promised to do major surgery and give you a new heart. And baptism is a beautiful thing because baptism is an opportunity for us to be renewed, a life, a new life in Christ. All those stinky sins, dead sins that you might be carrying, when you come into this tank here and you are baptized and you come out of the waters, you are a new person in Jesus Christ. All the old things have been forgiven. You start out your book with a blank page. Isn't that neat, Bill? It's like tearing the subfloor and the flooring and the insulation, tearing all of that out and putting new thing in. And then we live a life with Christ. And when temptations come, the promise is that if we are faithful, we go to Jesus and we ask for forgiveness, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news. That's the best news I have ever heard. That as stinky as we could become, we could come to Christ, and He could cleanse us and make us smell really, really good. There is hope. And on March 20th, we're going to be celebrating something very, so very important. And I don't know why sometimes some of our members realize that the 20th we're having communion, and they purposely sometimes don't come. When you have an opportunity for God to cleanse us, we have that opportunity for Him to take that stinky mouse, that stinky maggot-infested rat from us and just cleanse us totally through the washing of the feet. Now, unless you don't think you need that, okay, I'll give you permission to stay away. But I need it. And I think you would agree with me that you need it. So the 20th, our communion service, an opportunity not to be baptized, because most of you already were baptized, but just the cleansing, the washing of the feet, the Bible says it is sufficient. David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. A clean heart. Spray whatever you have to, take away whatever you have to. Just I need a clean heart. I'm going to close by reading from another little favorite book of mine. Steps to Christ, page 18. Listen to this very carefully, because it is very important. It is impossible for us of ourselves to escape from the pit of sin which we are sunk in. Our hearts are evil, and we cannot change them. Our hearts are like a dead, infested maggot, rat, whatever you want to call it, and it stinks. And we cannot go down into our hearts and cleanse our own hearts. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? That's a question from Job 14:4. And Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then listen to this. Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere, but here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness. And that power is Christ. So, if you need power to stop sinning, then that power is Christ. If you need power to stop gossiping, the power is Christ. If you need power to stop overeating, the power is Christ. If you need power for, you want to stop smoking, you want to stop drinking, you want to stop swearing, the power that you need in your life is Jesus Christ. You want to stop being proud? Spend time with Christ. You want to stop being resentful for some things that have happened in your life? Start spending time with Christ. You want to have a forgiving spirit in your heart? Spend time with Christ. Then it continues. Page 18. The Savior said, except a man be born from above, unless he shall receive a new heart, new desires, purposes, and motives leading to a new life, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless we are born again, unless we are converted, we will not be able to see the kingdom of God. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has made everything possible for us to be in the kingdom with Him. And it's my desire for all of us that we may continue to spend more time with Jesus Christ, because it is the power that we need in our hearts today and forevermore. I'm going to invite you to sing with me the hymn number 332. We're going to sing the first three stanzas. And then I have a special prayer after the third one, and then we'll sing the fourth one after we have prayer. Number 332.
Yeah, would you stand, please?
Oh, now I see the crimson white, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. The cleansing stream I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. I see the new creation rise, I hear the speaking blood. It speaks the looted nature dies, sinks neath the cleansing blood. The cleansing stream I see, I plunge and lo, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me, yet cleanseth me. I rise to walk in heaven's own light, above the world and sin. With heart made pure and garments white, and Christ enthroned within. The cleansing stream I see, I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me.
This morning I'm going to just ask if there's anybody out here that today the Lord is speaking to you and you're saying, Lord, I need to give my heart to you. I'm tired of having this heart that's infested with the rats and dead mice. I want you to take that away from me. If there's someone here this morning, I'm going to have a special prayer for you. I'm inviting you to come here. The Lord wants to transform our hearts. He wants for you to understand what sin is really like. And if you really want today to say, Lord, take my heart again. Take my heart. Cleanse my heart. You know where I've been. You know what I've done. You know what I need from you. Take my heart, Lord. Cleanse my heart. If there's someone here that would like to also at one point maybe take the opportunity to be baptized, and if you want to come down, I'd like to pray for you too. If you would like to someday be baptized and publicly declare to Jesus that you want to follow him also throughout the rest of your life. I would like to, for you to come down. I'd like to pray for you. There's nothing wrong with accepting the fact that we are sinners and that we need a Savior in our hearts. Because the only power that you need in your heart is the power of Christ to be able to cleanse you. Bless you. Is there someone else? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to give you everlasting life. He wants to give you the power over victory, over sin. We preach, we tell people that Jesus Christ is coming soon. But you see, Jesus is not going to take a smelly, rat-infested heart into the kingdom. He needs to cleanse us. He needs to get rid of that smell from our hearts. Because the Bible says there's nothing that's going to be up in heaven that's going to defile the kingdom of God. Let's sing the fourth stanza and then I'll have a prayer. And if you still want to come down while we're singing, go right ahead. Father, this morning we are here because we love You and because we want to express our gratitude toward You. And this morning I pray for those that have come here in the front. They have made that extra effort to come before Your altar to ask that You once again take our hearts and transform them into a heart that will honor and glorify Your name. Father, we all struggle with the fact that we like the dead smell of mice. But we are asking this morning that if it's Your will, that You cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And not only cleanse us, but remove the old heart and place a new heart in us. A heart that will do Your will. A heart that will want to do those things which are good and that will honor You. Father, help us to spend more time with Jesus. Help us to spend the time in the mornings, in the evenings, in the afternoons, whatever time we need to spend it with Jesus Christ. Because it is Jesus that is the power that we need to be able to become overcomers and victorious. Father, I pray for those that might have been struggling to come up here, and I just ask that your Holy Spirit may also continue to work in all of our hearts, those that remain standing, those that were thinking about coming down, those that were thinking about coming down about because they sensed that they wanted to be baptized. Father, I pray that you may help us all. It is only you that cleanses us. We can't do it. And we're giving you permission this morning, this afternoon, to be able to do that. Thank you, for you've answered our prayers. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And God bless you. You may walk out as we are done.